I'm Gene Kansas, host of Sidewalk Radio. Today, we delve into the world of cinema with a special segment called Popcorn Therapy. It's a movie review, but since we're not film critics, we'll be talking about these characters through our own life experiences. For this session of Popcorn Therapy, we have two very special guests in the studio, and two that have particular relevance to this film. David Cucharone is the concertmaster violin player with the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra, and Jared DeFife, PhD, is a clinical psychologist and professor at Emory University. Today's film, Chicken with Plums. David, did you like the movie?
Yes, I did like the movie. Sometimes as a violinist, it's difficult to watch movies about music and about violin especially, because it becomes funny to me because I know how it's supposed to sound when somebody moves, and it doesn't always supposed to sound. I can tell it's dubbed. It wasn't bad. It wasn't badly done, so it wasn't too disturbing. And generally, yes, I did like it.
Would it surprise you that the actor is also a violin player?
I could see he was a violin player. I don't think he's a professional violin player, but I could tell there's some movements that he does, like vibrato and some bow holds that he's doing that he wasn't able to do unless he either really practiced hard for this particular movie or if he already played violin.
And Jared, what'd you think?
Oh, I thought it was beautiful. It was moving. It was a love story. You'll laugh, you'll cry. There were a lot of kind of magical realism elements of it. There are fantasies, dreams, there's even animation sequences.
As a PhD and psychologist and on the faculty at Emory University, did you look at the lead character and say, oh my God, this guy needs to be in therapy?
I look at everyone and think, oh my God, this person needs to be in therapy. You start out not really liking this character, but as they start to tell his story through flashbacks and you start to get a little more sense of who he is, where he's coming from, and how he got to be that way, you can start to feel for him a little more.
Nasser Ali is a violin player, and not just any violin player. It's set in 1958 in Tehran. He's one of the world's greatest.
Yeah, he seems to be the violin player of the world. Yeah.
As little as he loves his wife, he loves the violin and playing it that much more. And we think that we know why at the beginning, but we find out some things that are revealed later. In the meantime, he and his wife get into an argument, and she smashes the violin, and he can no longer find an instrument worthy of playing and basically loses his lust for life and decides to go to his room and die. As a concertmaster violinist at the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra, have you ever had your music be an integral part of our personal relationship?
Yeah, of course. And I also want to add, there's been several times I wish somebody smashed my violin for me, or I wanted to do it myself. Being a musician and playing violin for me is a very, very big part of my personality and who I am and who I perceive that I am.
Jared, like for you, when you see the violin, you'll see it differently than David, see it differently from me. What do you think that symbolized or represented in this film?
There's actually the psychological test we use. It's called the thematic apperception test, or the TAT. And what it is a series of cards with pictures of people on them. And they're kind of a little bit antiquated. They're kind of like from the 1930s, 50s, and black and white photos. But what you do when you sit down with a person to try and, as part of a battery of getting to know more about this person, is you hand them these pictures and you ask them to tell you a creative story about it. The first card in that set, and it's a pretty famous one, is actually a young boy who's sitting with his hand perched over a violin. And so kind of the point of the card is to see how people see their relationship to something that they would have to practice. As David said, you know, you've been practicing and playing daily since age 3. How they
Which
feel
is amazing, by the way.
Yeah.
At age 3, dedication. I think I just learned how to, like, you know, drool.
Well, I don't remember anything from H3, but we have video.
Any days off? Have you taken any, or?
Yeah, there's been a few days here and there, especially if you travel to Asia, you got to take a day or two off because you're on the plane for so long. There's a famous saying, if you don't practice for one day, I will hear it. If you don't practice for 2 days, your wife will hear it. And if you don't practice for 3 days, your audience will hear it. And it's kind of true.
Wow.
I think long about this time, people are probably asking themselves, so what's this have to do with chicken and plums, which is the title of the film?
Well, it's the meal that his wife prepares for him, and he likes the most to eat.
Like David said, it's a meal that his wife prepares for him that he traditionally like she's trying to get him. So he's decided to take to his bedroom for 8 days to die because he can't get any pleasure from playing the violin anymore, can't find any pleasure in anything. So in taking to his room for 8 days and he stops eating, there's a sort of touching day where his wife attempts to bridge that connection with him. She makes him this meal, his favorite meal. She's kind of desperately trying to use the meal to connect with him, to get through to him, to get through his kind of desperation.
I thought a big theme in this was how the parents' behavior affected the kids. Mm-hmm. You're one of the top violin players in the world. You know, what was the direction that you got from your parents, if any, or pressure, and what pressure do you put on yourself? What's your story?
I think it's difficult for any three-year-old to be, mommy, I want to play the violin every day. So that's not what happened. And my mom played the piano, and she wanted to play with somebody. So she thought it was fun to buy me a violin when I was three, and I started playing it, and I did pretty well. But throughout when I was growing up, I think the key, and I thank my parents every day for this, is that they found a great way of pushing and pulling. Like, it's not just, you know, you had to practice every day, you had to practice. But also, you know, okay, so if you practiced well and you did a good concert, I would get a radio car. I would get rewards for that. That was instrumental, no pun intended, for me.
And Jared, when you see this, what effects do you think the lead character in the film's behavior had on his children as kids and in their future lives, which were revealed later by Azrael, the angel of death, who, interestingly, is the narrator?
The main character just, he kind of rejects any relationship with his kids. And to be a good parent, you have to have an understanding of be able to read your kids and react to them in different ways that's appropriate for who they are.
And be a kid yourself.
Yeah. And for him, all he could see is that his daughter was a reflection of himself. He tried to see that through morphopsychology, I think they called it, that because his daughter looked like him, he thought she would be much like him.
So how badly do our parents screw us up?
Depends on if my parents are listening.
Goes both ways sometimes. Something that I thought about when I watched the movie, which I was actually very impressed with the movie, was the fact that it brings out the fact that when he goes to the violin master the first time around, the master says, your technique is impeccable, but you're missing something. You're missing an inner voice. And when he falls in love with the woman, and the woman breaks his heart, he goes back to the master. And this is revealed much later in the movie, and that's when it started making sense for me. That's when he said, I have nothing to teach you. You have your voice from inside. You can play every note as if she is there. And for me, that's what music is about. It's about him expressing his love, because he does have love in his heart. Just not for the people around him. He needs an outlet to express his emotions. And that's, for him, that's done through the violin. For me, that's done through the violin too. And I think that's what music is about ultimately.
You're listening to Cyborg Radio's Popcorn Therapy. I'm your host, Gene Kansas. Today's show, Chicken with Plums, a film review. And how do people find it? I mean, does it just happen, or is it?
I think everybody has to express their feelings somehow, somewhere, in some context, whether it's screaming into your pillow or,
therapy office.
Yeah. Yeah, it has to be somewhere. And for me, I always try to channel my emotions and my feelings as much as I can through the violin, because it's a very expressive instrument. and I feel like I can express what I feel.
You know, I think if there's a take-home message for me from this, it's about the destructive power of kind of unexpressed resentment and how destructive that can be if you hold on to it and if you don't have an outlet for it.
During the 8 days when he confined himself to his room to die, do you think that he found that ability to let go, and what part was that?
That's a good question. I don't know. David's shaking his head.
I don't think so either. Because he died.
Yeah, he just...
And I kept thinking, you know, maybe he's going to figure out a way to not die, but he dies. And I think for me, the message is, you know, if you can't express yourself, if you can't express your emotions, you might as well die.
In conclusion, would you go see it? You know, would you recommend a friend to see it?
Yeah. I think I would. I don't recommend a lot of movies. I'm very critical of movies. But today there are so many movies who don't have the elements that this movie has. It's just loud bangs and explosions and terrible music, actually. People don't think of music when they watch movies, but for me, the music film score is extremely important.
And you like this one?
And the film score, the music score was actually very good.
Yeah, I would certainly recommend it to people who are looking for a one hanky love story.
Well, thank you all so much for joining. It was really
thank
great.
Thank you for having us.
Sure, thank you. Yeah.
Chicken with Plums is making its U.S. debut, open now in select cities, and at Atlanta's Terrace Cinema on October 5th. Check it out. This session of Popcorn Therapy is brought to you by The Icebox, one-stop shop for promotional products and branded apparel in Atlanta and beyond. Check them out on the web at iceboxonline.com or pop on over to their place in Inman Park. It's pretty cool.
Yekiboud, Yekinaboud. Il y avait quelqu'un, il n'y avait personne. C'est ainsi que commencent les contes persans. Yekiboud, Yekinaboud. C'était l'automne 1958. J'étais de passage à Téhéran. J'y rencontrais un certain Nasser Ali, dont je vais vous raconter l'histoire.